Well, good morning. Trust everyone is well this morning. So good to see folks. Good to see visitors again. Good to see returning visitors this morning. Trust you'll enjoy the service. Make yourself at home. I want to say something to our Harvest family before we pray. If you haven't already done this, or you haven't done it in a while, do me a favor and go to our website. Number one, it gives us a hit, and I think somehow it helps us move up when you do Google search. But do take a look. Every visitor that we have, 9 out of 10 say, yes, I went online, read the biography, so they knew something about me, and I didn't know anything about them yet. And they read the biography, listened to a message. One gentleman came in and ran into Brother Smith and said, oh, yeah, you're the guy that gave the prophecy update. So he recognized some faces just from seeing and watching our services. So just take a moment, go online, check out the website, and look around. The upper left-hand corner is a drop box. Also, we'll be adding the opportunities to give online. I'm not promoting you to do that regularly. You do. I think giving is an act of worship. I think you should put it in the offering plate if you're here, and we'll explain how you can give online and still do that once the online giving is active. But it is convenient when we're on vacation. It is convenient if we relocate, but we still want to send our giving back to our church until we find a new church. And so it does have its advantages. But anyway, get a chance, take a look. When the giving online goes active, I'll let you know as well. It'd be good to go online to see what the website looks like. Take a look at the bio of your pastor, as well as it also has all the sermons from Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night service. And speaking of Sunday morning service, man, we had a great Sunday school lesson this morning in the men's class. Brother Dave is going through a series on the scriptures, and next week he'll be talking about the plenary word in reference to the Word of God, the inspiration of Scripture, and other things. He's done a wonderful job. Looking forward to the next step next week. But all those are online as well, from the prophecy updates to Sunday school. The preaching services are all online. You have the opportunity, I believe, audio or video, right? Either this morning. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for lifting our voices in praise and worship unto you, and you bless our time together, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Whoa.
that we meet. So if you would join us as we go before the Lord in prayer and asking God to work. Father, we come before thy throne today, and with grateful hearts, but yet needy hearts, we ask you to move in such a way, Father, today. Do something, Lord, and do things today that only you can do as you send thy Holy Spirit, Lord, to do multiple things. Father, the Holy Spirit can convict. The Holy Spirit can comfort. And Father, the Holy Spirit knows the difference and needs of each one, whether it's conviction for sin and needing to be saved, whether it's conviction for a Christian with some things in their life that maybe it needs to improve, needs to change, or needs to be diminished. But Father, we trust the Holy Spirit to do its work. Father, we pray and grateful with hearts, Lord, but also with great concern that we don't want anyone to leave today without knowing that they know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. May thy sweet Holy Spirit bring conviction, even now, in the heart of those who may need to come to the Lord. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being called pastor here at Harvest Baptist Church. Help me to be the shepherd, the pastor that you would have me to be, the one who warns, who also comforts and encourages, and Lord, give me the wisdom to know the difference. Father, I pray that you would be with our men, Father, that you would work within their hearts, Lord, that you'd comfort them, Father, that you'd put a hedge about them and protect them from sin, protect them from physical harm and distress. Guide their eyes, their tongue, Lord, their speech, their ears, Father, and help them to be instruments in your hand as they minister together here with their pastor and church family and reaching one another and others for the cause of Christ. Father, we thank you for our ladies at Harvest Baptist Church. Pray that you would be with them as they strive to serve you and to encourage others and to be the Proverbs 31 woman that you would have them to be. Father, whether it's a young girl in the children's ministry or to the oldest lady here today, would you just encourage them and help them to be in the hearts of those that are in our children's church this morning and in the nursery. We thank you for those who labor and teach and pray, those who minister in our parking lot security duty. We are so grateful for those who are willing to serve even behind the scenes, that they might minister to their church family, that they might be a blessing and encouragement. Father, we thank you for those. And then, Father, I pray that you'd help me this morning. Father, please give me clarity of heart, clarity of mind, clarity of speech. Help me be obedient to thee, those things which I've studied and prepared for this morning. And Father, I pray once again that anyone here that doesn't know that they're saved, may today be their day of salvation. May that Christian who's here today be comforted, be challenged, and Father, maybe even conviction that may need to come as we look at the Word of God concerning a loving warning to heed. Father, may you do, through thy sweet Holy Spirit, what only you can do. Work among us today, we request of you. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Ladies trio comes to sing for us this morning. Let's look in our passages of scripture this morning, 2 John chapter 1, 2 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 8 as we make our way. We finally, after 15 months, got through 1 John and finished up in chapter 5, and now we're on 2 John. I promise it won't take 14 months to get through 2 John. It will take a little while to get through verse 8. But we will not take that long, and we'll move our way into 3 John in the book of Jude, and of course still praying and been prompted about going on into Revelation. We'll see what the Lord has for us. Let's look at 2 John chapter number 1 and verses 1 through 8. 2 John verses 1 through 8. The Bible says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, who I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that came known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which ye had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this love that we walk after his commandments, this is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward.
In this age of uncertainty, questions come to my mind. What is waiting ahead for me and the rest of mankind? Fear not tomorrow, God is already there. He's charting the course you'll take. He sees each hidden snare. He's waiting to guide you through each burden and care. Fear not tomorrow, God is already there. Are you troubled or things to come. Is your future unsure? Are you dreading the coming dawn, a long day to endure? Fear not tomorrow, God is already there. He's charging course you'll take. He sees each hidden snare. He's waiting to guide you through each burden and care. Fear not to
a title this morning, and if you have a bulletin, the outline is on the back, but a loving warning to heed. Now, there is a difference between a loving warning and a threatening warning. And this is without a doubt a loving warning, and even a warning that was given earlier in 1 John. We see John once again giving a bit of a warning. And there can be many types of warning, and I won't go through all the different ones, but one just kind of came to me this morning as I was listening to congregational singing. And we have a granddaughter, Jovi, who is a little bitty thing. She is so skinny and so little, she has to jump around in the shower just to get wet. But this girl has got an appetite. I think she has 2 tapeworms. This girl can put the food away. But also, we have to warn her, Jovi, it is really hot. And then she takes leisurely no heed, and she takes her first bite, because it's so hot for her mouth. She gets the burnt rooftop, especially if we have pizza or anything else. She always burns the roof of her mouth because she loves to eat. And though she's been warned, she just jumps right into it because she can't wait. And we as believers, if we're not careful, the Lord gives us loving warnings that we should heed. And sometimes that bite or that burn could be a lot worse than a burn on the roof of your mouth. It could be a tarnish on your testimony. It could be a tarnish on work, a foundation you're laying as you're trying to minister to your friends, your family, or your neighbors. So as we look at this morning, keep in mind, as your pastor, I'm just reading from the Bible. I'm prepared an outline as the Lord has helped me, preaching from the Word again as John has, and giving you a loving warning that I hope that you will heed. You may not need it today. You may not need it tomorrow, but maybe someday in the future it will be a help to you. Here in the epistle of 2 John, it was either written to a godly mother and her children, or the term elect lady refers to a church and its members. John has a great affection and love for them and was thrilled to find them walking in truth. They are living out the Christian life by their actions, just as we are commanded to do so today. The apostle continues his theme of loving one another. As we talked about that the other night, and with our theme for the new year of faith, family, and fellowship. And we accomplish that through loving one another and encouraging one another in ministry. The apostle continues again with that theme. He stressed this as the first letter, and brought out the point that genuine love for God is obeying His commands. There's a warning about deceivers who slip into the church to deceive God's people. And he covered this again in 1 John. And it tries to cause doubt about the deity of Christ and the fact that Jesus actually existed in the flesh. John pulls no punches whatsoever. He said, these folks are deceivers. They are antichrists. Again, he's bringing it up again from 1 John earlier that we've studied. He's bringing it again to their attention. These deceivers are imposters who lead others into error. We are to watch out, look out for these. They are antichrists. They are enemies of Jesus Christ. In verse 8, John gives a loving but a very serious warning to the local assembly, the church. He says again in verse 8, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. He wants us to get the full reward that's coming to us as we serve the Lord. And over the next several weeks, we will break down this verse number 8 and study these three sections. Look to yourselves, that we lose not. And that lose not are those things which we have wrought. And then thirdly, we'll look at, but that we receive a full reward. But notice first of all this morning, that first section, look to yourselves. Look out, number one. Look out, examine yourself. So often it's easy to point a finger at someone else and their error, but we forget about our own self. As I mentioned before, my dad used to tell me, son, when you point a finger, you've always got at least three pointing back at you. Be careful of your accusation. What does John actually mean when he says this? The word look is from the word blepo, which means to weigh carefully, to be alert, to discern, to examine. In other words, be accurate, be honest. John is saying, watch out, keep an eye on yourself. I had a missionary friend some years ago when I was serving on the mission field, and he jokingly made the comment that every morning he gets up, goes to the bathroom, washes his face, looks in the mirror and says, all right, you rascal, what are you going to be up to today? Hey, what is he doing? He's saying, anything choice I make to do today, it's me. It's on me. I can say I was tempted. I can say the devil made me do it, but no, he tempted, but I chose to participate. So John is saying to be alert and watch out, keep an eye on yourself, as maybe some of our younger generation would say, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. We need to make sure that we are watching and observing and sometimes even asking for mentors, for accountability partners, for your spouse on occasion. You know what I'm talking about, Jim, and I mentioned this last week. You know how sometimes we get a kick under the table because our wife doesn't want to interrupt us but wants to warn us, be careful where you go. So why are we to look out? Why are we to examine ourselves? First of all, notice here under the whys, because of the rampant deception that's going on today. Boy, it doesn't take long to walk out into your community, turn on the news or listen to the radio and hear the deception. Nextly, not only because of the rampant deception, but next, because of temptations to compromise with sin. We are not to compromise with sin. We're to take a bold stand against it. And then next, because of distractions, discouragement, and doubt. Yes, at one time or another, we all could struggle with doubt in our lives. Friend, we are to be on the lookout for things that hinder our Christian growth. As many of you know, I've been on a diet and talking with another man today, and we're talking about, I've noticed his weight loss, and he said something to mine as well. I've lost almost 50 pounds. I used to weigh 200 pounds. And I had to make a choice. I had to make a decision about my growth physically as well as my spiritual growth. But I made a decision. There are certain things I was going to cut out of my life. I was going to make sure that I had protein on my plate. I was going to make sure that I had the fiber and the vegetables that are loaded with some of the vitamins that I need on my plate. My daughter, who's a fitness trainer, always says, okay, Dad, Mom, you need to make sure, forget what you taught us, forget what Grandma and Grandpa taught you. Don't worry about your vegetables. Eat your protein first and then eat your vegetables. And I said, amen. But that's exactly what she's encouraged us, to get the protein that we need. And dear friends, as believers, we need the protein of the Word of God in our lives daily. We need the fiber and the sides that go with it daily, and that is fellowship, working together, encouraging one another as iron sharpeneth iron. Faith, family, and fellowship complements the protein of the Word of God that we get in our daily diet. We need to understand that if you are not careful, there are people that will influence your life and lead you in the wrong directions. We are to look out for the things that hinder our spiritual growth. As I was looking out for the things that promote my physical growth that I wanted to get away from, we also need to get away from some things that hinder our spiritual growth, because Satan can use people, wrong people, and sometimes even good people to get you sidetracked. You see, worldly Christians, scoffers, slanderers, false teachers can confuse and lead a young believer away. They can confuse and even lead a sound believer away if they're not careful. You need to be aware of the fact that folks can influence you to drift from the Lord or even cripple you spiritually. You see, the reason that I know is because too many Christians are out of church today because of doubt, because of disobedience, because of addiction, and even depression brought on by discouragement and confusion, and some by hurt. We need to make sure. I think some of the worst hurt that we ever face is church hurt. But it shouldn't discourage us from continuing serving the Lord, to finding a place we can plug in, finding a place where we can serve and be used of the Lord. But Satan will use everything in his toolbox to discourage us and keep us away from being around those that will help us. John says, look to yourselves, or examine yourself. The Bible provides principles about self-examination. Let's look at two of them today, and we'll look into a couple more of them next week. But letter A this morning, as we look at a couple of these references, as we look at letter A, the difficulty of self-examination. Yes, we are to look out, we are to examine ourselves, but we also need to remember it's not easy. The difficulty of self-examination. See, that's why I go to a doctor for my physical. That's why I go to a doctor when I have some problems or some physical needs, because I can't do it on my own. Number one, I don't have a medical degree. But number two, sometimes I'm not always ready to go because I have a little bit of a hurt or something is bothering me. In fact, I'm getting to the age, and I don't know if it means my lack of responsibility at this age. I don't know what it is, but Michelle said the other day, sweetheart, and she didn't single me out. Boy, she's so gracious. She said, we need to start going to each other's doctor's appointments. So I can let the doctor know what you might forget. Now, keep in mind that every time I go to the doctor, she would text me as I leave all the things I need to ask about. But the only problem is I don't always look at my notes on my text message. So she wants to make sure she goes with me. And we as ourselves, individually, collectively, we need to remind ourselves, I know what my spiritual problems are, but will I self-examine? Will I discuss it with someone else to encourage me? Will I sit down and talk about it? Will I give them unto the Lord? Because the difficulty of self-examination, that's why the word is difficult. It is difficult. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Oh, pastor, that's kind of hard. Well, that's not me. That's Jeremiah. That's the word of God. I'm just reading for what the Bible says. Don't trust. Well, the worst advice you can ever give anyone, especially a teenage girl, is follow your heart. No! No! The Bible is very clear. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, it is difficult for us to get down to reality about our true spiritual condition because of our fleshly nature tends to blur our immorality and fog up the questionable decisions that we might need to make. We are also distracted by the details and delights that this world presents on a silver platter, urging us with its siren call, help yourself, enjoy. The Lord has helped me get back to my weight loss again because I have substituted, as you folks know, and for those visiting, I've substituted ice cream for protein. Now, this is a rhetorical question, but no, let's make it real. Who has a favorite aisle they like to go to first when they go to the grocery store? I do. Me and Derek and Dennis, there's only one back. Come on, Tony, thank you. I've got somebody out there holding back. Yeah, I used to, by for a favorite aisle was to go down the ice cream aisle. Especially when we moved and came back from the mission field. There was this one grocery store that went into for the first time that I really enjoyed. When you start walking down the freezer food section, all the lights of the freezers begin to come on as you walk down. I said, man, they're highlighting my ice cream row. I had to make a beeline over there to get some of that. That's, you know, that's a weakness for me. Now I make a beeline back to the meat department. Get some good brisket and roast and hamburger and other things. Because that's what I need for my physical diet. And dear friends, we need to make sure that we're heading to things that's going to help us spiritually. So many of our men lately, which has encouraged your pastor, has made the comment of how much they enjoy services, but how much they really enjoy the Tuesday men's fellowship. The iron sharpeneth iron, spending time together, learning about one another, sharing with one another. And that's encouraging as your pastor to hear those things because it's something that we need. And that difficulty of self-examination helps to make it a little bit easier when iron sharpeneth iron. See, the deceitful and the depravity of our own hearts will lead us to label that which is bad good and that which is good as something that is bad. You know how it is today. Now cool is hot and hot is cool. And depending on what you're talking about, bad is good and good is bad. They get confused, but we need to make sure that we separate those things and allow the Word of God to speak for itself. It amazes me that the Lord has the patience to deal with us. I tell you what, he's a whole lot more patient than I am. I think I'm a little bit less patient as I get older. I'm a whole lot less patient with my family than I am with my church family. I hate to say it, I'm working on that, but the facts are the facts. See, a mere mortal would have zapped everyone on earth with lightning bolts and remind us that what godly fear is all about. And may I remind you, he has destroyed the earth. But then again, we need to remind ourselves, am I pleasing God? What part is not pleasing to him? What is it about my life that the Lord would like to shave off, to sand off, to file off to make me a better person? You see, our deceitful hearts causes us to conclude that we don't need to examine ourselves because there's nothing wrong with us at all. That is a lie of the devil. Why do I need to get right when I have done anything wrong at all? And I like the fellow who wrote the book, how I obtain humility and the three easy steps to get there. Folks, as long as we live in this body of flesh and blood, we're going to have struggles. We are. But that's natural. That's normal. But what's not normal, as John warns us, that we don't take heed to that and try to correct those things. I'm back to myself as an example again. I don't run to the ice cream aisle anymore on this diet. I run to the protein aisle. I don't use as much butter as I used to use on things. If it was up to me, when Michelle made her biscuit, she uses a big cast iron skillet. She only puts one stick of butter in it before the biscuits go in. I'd put two. In fact, I probably would put a little bit of bacon grease in there if it was me. But I know that it's not good for me. I know some things that's in moderation. But dear friends, I've never heard anyone overdose on the Word of God. I never heard anyone wax fat, too spiritually fat, because they spent too much time in the Word. We need to make sure that we're balancing that out and doing all that we can to obtain what we need from the Word of God. Own sinful pride. Yes, it's everywhere today. The world thinks nothing of it. And some countries are worse than others. But it's bad enough here with things that are before us day by day. Yes, the difficulty of self-examination. And letter B, the reasons for self-examination. It's a little bit of an overlap. I talked about some of that already. But one reason we are to examine ourselves is because the Lord is searching us, and He is the one that we will answer to one day. He and He alone. When I go to the doctor and I have my list and I go there and I see the doctor, I talk to Dr. Wise, I go through some points, I forget something, I don't open my app, and I think he's gotten to where he'll ask me, has your wife sent you a list? And I thank him for that. But I'll get home and Michelle will say, okay, what did the doctor say? As she has her notes out about this, 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 and this. And I swallow real hard. I forgot a few of those. It's a checklist. And dear friends, we need that. There's a reason for self-examination. And again, the Lord is searching. Jeremiah again, chapter 17 and verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Again, I, the Lord, search the heart. Beloved, God wants you to be tough on yourself so that you will not ruin your testimony and hinder your ministry with other people. Here's my problem. Let's just be honest, because surely some of you can agree with me. I am hard on myself in some areas, but it's a lot harder to be hard on myself in my spiritual condition. Example, at the end of the day, or at 10 in the morning, and I take a little bit of a break, whether I'm at home office or I'm here at church, and I'll take a break and I'll look at what I've accomplished for the day and my checklist of what I want to do. And sometimes I'm hard on myself because I didn't get as much done as I thought that I could or should have gotten done. And then I'll waste the next 15 minutes figuring out what I could have done differently to get it all in instead of just getting back to work. But I have to be careful in my time management. And I said all that to say this. When's the last time we gave a checkup of our spiritual routine in the morning? Am I spending sufficient time in the Word, sufficient time in prayer, and let's go a little further, and sufficient time in praise? We should take the time and praise the Lord for His goodness to us as we pray. We need to make sure we're not only praying for our needs, but that aspect of supplication and praying for others that have needs as well, my brothers and my sisters in Christ, my church family. Again, God wants us to be tough on ourselves. He wants us to have a checklist because He tries our hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in the second part of verse number 4, 4b, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Yeah, it's easy to judge one another, but I need to be more concerned about what the Lord thinks of what I'm doing or what I am not doing. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Yes, I may have to face Michelle when I come back to the doctor if I went on my own about my checklist. That may be a tough road, but you know what? It's nothing compared to when I will face the Lord. When we sit down in our prayer life, we're saying, Lord, show me. Reveal to me if I have overlooked. Lord, try me. Show me. Lord, help me to get rid of those things that's hindering me from my service. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Are we considering our ways? Are we looking at our walk, our testimony, our devotional time, our walk with the Lord, our relationship with others? Are we considering our way, that self-examination? Yes, the difficulty of self-examination, but there are reasons why we are to examine ourselves. Some folks may fear getting matters right in their own lives because of what is required to correct the problems. Well, if I get right with God, that means I'm going to have to do this, this, and this. Well, and what's wrong with that? Just because you've got to get rid of something, you've got to put something aside, or you've got to add something to your spiritual diet. Believe me, I wasn't happy when I was prompted to make a decision. No ice cream. It was almost 9 months before I had my first pint. It wasn't easy, but I had made a decision because it was good for me. It's good. I was lax a little bit from Thanksgiving to Christmas, and I gained 5 pounds, and I've lost them all so far, except maybe a quarter of a pound. Depends on which way I lean on the scales. But I'm working on that because I added some things back in at Thanksgiving. I added some things back at Christmas because of all that spread and cookies and all the pies that Michelle made. I wanted to enjoy that, so I gained just a little bit, but I kept working out, and then I drew the line. It's over. I've enjoyed it. Get it out of the house. Send it home with friends and family. Send it home with the grandkids. But I don't need the temptation anymore. And whatever that spiritual temptation that would hinder us and make it difficult for the self-examination, that would give us the reasons for that. Yes, the reasons for self-examination is to better us, to bring us closer to the God, to have a pure life, an exemplary testimony for others to watch. Sometimes our naysayers or those who see it as being just too hard, they conclude that seeking forgiveness for sins or making restitution for damages is just too costly. What will people think? How will people respond? Well, I know some things that have done publicly may have to be addressed publicly, but dear friends, when you bow your head and you go before the Lord, there ain't nobody listening but you and Him. Why not confess our sins? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, Pastor, once I do that and I really mean it, He may want me to do this or this or that. Yeah, He might. But He won't want you to do anything that He will not equip you to do. I've shared this example before. It's been maybe a year. I'll share it real again and we'll go on and be finished in a moment. We had a dear family in the church some years ago in our military ministry. They were growing like gangbusters. They had two sets of twins, boys and girls. They both had made profession, follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Those girls especially were excited about serving the Lord. It seems like every week they were asking, Pastor, when's the next teen activity? When's the next time we're going to go up to Ramstein for the joint youth group? Are we going to host a youth group this year here at our church? And other churches going to come down? They were excited about serving the Lord. And then one day, after a Wednesday night service, I even remember the message. They weren't there for the next two or three services. I got worried about them and wondered what they were going to do because it wasn't like them. I knew a deployment was coming up and maybe he was pulled away Sunday, so I was giving him a little time and I looked for him during that week. They weren't there Wednesday, and I ran into him on Thursday. And I said, Stephen, man, we miss you guys. He just kind of lowered his head and said, Pastor, we won't be back. I said, Brother, what do you mean? Man, your boys got saved and baptized. Your girls, they're excited about serving the Lord and being involved. I know boys are going to be boys. They get in trouble. But they're excited about being in church. He said, Pastor, we're just afraid. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, we've gotten in church. And our boys got saved. Praise God! Then our girls got saved at camp. Praise God! Brother, what's wrong with that? And here's his response. We've been so faithful. We've been so involved. There's been changes taking place in our life. I'm afraid of what God will ask me to do next. He was basically throwing out his wife and kids over him, or him and his wife, over their fears of what God may ask them to do. Dear friends, I tried to encourage him. Brother, God may never ask you to do any more than you're doing now, other than being faithful and being encouragement to your pastor. And I couldn't help myself. But I said, but right now you're not being a very good encourager. He may never ask you. But he said, but he might. I said, so it's better to be away from God, to not be right with God, to be away from the Lord and risk what may happen to your kids on the spiritual growth and fearful what God may equip you to do next? He said, Pastor, I don't want to talk about it. Dear friends, this are things that can happen. Yes, there's difficulty in self-examination. Yes, there's reasons, and this is one of them. There's reasons for self-examination. What else does God want me to do? What is my next step of faith in my service? What more does the Lord want me to do? Dear friends, I'm just going to be perfectly honest with you. Of course, I should every time I preach, but on this topic is the aspect of, if you never do anything but attend church faithfully, honor the Lord through your giving of your tithes and offering, and a blessing and encouragement to your church family, your pastor, God may never ask you to do more. But guess what? That's big. That's big. You ask anyone who's needed your encouragement. You ask any pastor who has a family church that encourages them how much they appreciate it. But he might ask you to do a little more. He might ask you to consider being a backup song leader, to sing in the choir, to be an usher, to help with the security and parking lot. He may ask you to prepare and pray about teaching a Sunday school class. He may ask you to say, you know what, maybe I need to have a message ready in case pastor's sick to help him out. I mean, I'm not a preacher, but I can fill in if he's not feeling well or needs a break. I don't know what that may be, but God knows. And if we're willing to serve him and put aside the things that we're concerned about as we self-examine, God will equip us for every single step that we take. I just came to me, brother. I'll use myself as an example. I went to a high school in Oak Ridge High School. At that time that I went, I graduated in 1981. They were third in the nation in education. I barely passed and made it through high school. I went through the vocational way because I had no desire to go to college whatsoever. None. I just wanted to finish. Dad has a family business. I know enough about that. I know how to hang duck. I know how to crawl in the attics under the floor and put duck together. I know how to cut it. I know how to do those things. It's a good career. I'll make good money. That's enough for me. I had no desire to do more, so why take classes? Why take AP? Why prepare for college when I have no intention of going? This is a whole lot easier, and I don't have to go to ball practice and come home and cram and study till midnight. So, all through high school, I never took a book home to study. Never. Nothing. Until my senior year, when my guidance counselor told me, well, Mr. Cook, do you realize you haven't had grammar? You've had literature abundantly. But you have had no grammar classes. You can't graduate next year without it. So I had to take one semester of grammar. Mrs. Johnson from Johnson City, Tennessee, transferred in, and she was my grammar teacher. She was a believer. I'm grateful. I told her the first day, I need your class to graduate. I took it in the summer. I will be here on time. I will not give you a problem. I will stay after class for help. But I'm telling you, I need you in this class to graduate. Whatever you tell me to do, I will do. And her response was, Mr. Cook, I've never had a student that wasn't willing to learn and get through my class that did not get through my class. I did. And you, those of you who've heard me preach, you'll know. That's why I got a C minus in grammar. But I graduated. I graduated. And then my senior year, something happened, and all of a sudden, a few schools, an opportunity to play baseball surfaced. And I thought, well, I never thought I'd have that opportunity. And I had to make a decision about what I'm going to do. Lord had other plans for me. I mean, I wanted to play ball, but I never thought I'd really make it to the next level. But the Lord had other plans, and he used some things to stir in my heart the need to strive to do a little more as I serve the Lord. And dear friends, it doesn't matter of your qualifications. The very first speech that I had in high school, we had impromptu speeches where we had to reach into a box and pull out an item and talk about it for 3 minutes. And my teacher, is it a D? No, if you stay up here the whole time and at least try to talk the full minutes, you'll get at least a B minus. We can build on that. But if you just stand here the whole time, it's going to be a C minus. So came time for my speech, and I drew out a piece of chalk. I thought, man, this would be easy. After 30 seconds of demonstrating how it works, I was out of material. I had to come up with something, but I made it. And then at the end of the year, we had another speech, and mine was on the railroad, and it was 6 minutes. 6 minutes. I prepared. I had 62 pages of notes. I didn't have that many, but I had a lot. And I came up and introduced myself, all I could. I stretched out as long as I could, and I did it. And I got through, and I looked up at the clock, and I had 3 minutes of the 6 minutes left. So I put the paper down and put my hands on my side. Didn't know I was practicing for the military. And I looked at the back wall at the clock, and that was the longest 180 seconds of my life. I stood there and looked at the clock for 3 minutes, because my 3 minutes that I used to present the railroad was done. Part of it was talking too fast, not prepared enough, being nervous. My teacher was gracious. He was also the offensive coordinator for our football team, and I happened to be one of the running backs. And he said, "Mr. Cook, you passed. I feel like I need to do a little bit better in C-minus because you had good material for the 3 minutes. I'm going to give you a C+. I was happy. And once again, I'll say this. It doesn't matter how well you think you are not equipped. God could take and use anyone that's willing to be an instrument in his hands. Now folks say, "I can't get you to shut up," much less say, "Would you love to hear a 6-minute sermon?" Well, it ain't going to happen. But anyway, I've got all kinds of material. But it didn't start out that way. It's a process of time. The first message I ever preached lasted 6 minutes, and I had 6 pages of the old yellow legal sheet paper to go through. It took me longer to walk up and down than it did to preach through it. Dear friends, do not allow the difficulty of self-examination or the reasons why we should self-examine to hinder you from doing it and allowing the Lord to use you. Beloved, if you don't deal with your offenses now, realize that the Lord will deal with you now and in eternity. Hebrews chapter 12, as we prepare to close, in verse 6. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Gentlemen, we've all heard our dad say, "Son, this is going to hurt me a lot more than it's going to hurt you." Never understood that till I had kids. And this is exactly what Paul is saying here. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." Are you prepared to heed his loving warning? Friends, keep short accounts with the Lord. He wants to hear from us even when we sin. And when we keep short accounts and we make ourselves available, God wants to use us in a unique way. Different from others. Different is not bad. God has a desire to use each and every believer who attends Harvest Baptist Church, each and every believer that attends our local assembly. There is a ministry for you, faithfulness and encourager. There's so many roles. Don't be afraid of what God may ask you to do next. Just say, "Lord, here am I. Use me as you see fit." Or as our sports fans, athletes like to say, "Put me in, coach. However you see fit, wherever you want me to play, wherever you want me to serve, Lord, just use me." Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed this morning as we prepare to close and have an invitation first, of course. Maybe you're here today, and I've said a lot of things directed more to Christians, but maybe you're here today and you're not sure about this aspect of this heed and what all I've spoken. Yes, praise God. But if the answer is no, why not let us take the Bible and show you how you can be saved? Christians, if you're here this morning, again, that self-examination is hard. It is difficult, but there's good, sound, biblical reasons to do it. Because God wants to use you. He wants to grow you. He wants you involved in your local assembly. I want you involved in Harvest Baptist Church. I want you to cooperate with faith, family, and fellowship. I want you to be involved with pastoral care, parishioner care, property care, and proclamation in our community as we serve together here at Harvest Baptist Church. Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. Pray that you speak to the hearts of your people. May they respond and be obedient as you speak to them this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed just for a moment. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, some are coming to pray, others may need to. But if the Lord has spoken to you this morning, why put off until tomorrow what you can deal with the Lord today? Again, it may just be a simple thank you for the message, Lord. Thank you for the reminder. It may be, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, show me. It might be, Lord, I need you in my life. Whatever the circumstance may be, whatever the need is in your heart, where you stand or here at an altar, you do business with the Lord this morning. The music playing is I Surrender All. And dear friends, when we're clenching and holding on to other things in our life, we're not surrendered. Just let go and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? I surrender all. Are you surrendered, my friend? Are you taking heed to the loving warnings from the Word of God and the prompting of the Holy Spirit? Hearts and minds are clear. You can look this way. And as always, remember that God loves you. His preacher loves you. I want to ask you a question before you dismiss. Miss Carrie Cena and Miss Cheryl Hottie, you are not allowed to participate in this. How many were a little warm this morning? Okay, how many were a little cold this morning? Okay, so we'll make some adjustments in the air. Try to make some adjustments. It's hard sometimes. I'll knock it down a notch before the next service for next week. I didn't ask those two ladies because one is always hot and one is always cold, so it doesn't matter what I ask. And they both know that I love them and tease them every once in a while. All right. Well, speaking of teasing, I got to have just one poke before we leave this morning. Should we have a moment of mourning for our ducks this morning, Brother Hunt? As many of you know, Brother Hunt is an avid Oregon Ducks fan, And I texted him before the game, go Ducks. And the next morning he said, Pastor, the Ducks laid an egg. Michelle? Yes. Yeah, if I want to go a little step further. I went to bed and they were ahead and I woke up this morning and I thought, oh my soul. I took a moment of prayer. Lord, please bless my grieving friends at Harvest Baptist Church. But anyway, we're glad you're here. This is all in fun. The preaching's finished. We're getting a little less serious now, getting ready to be dismissed. But anyway, again, I do love you, appreciate you so much. Anything I can do for you, please don't hesitate to ask. It's good to see Miss Alice here today. I know she had her back surgery, so good to see her back. And can you pray for her? Take warning, as you see, she has a brace on from her back surgery, so good to see her back in church. Others may have needs as well. Again, if you need anything, please don't hesitate to ask. I'm going to make my way to the back so I can greet folks as they come out.